had much in common, but were very different. We saw that both of these men were murderers. They both failed God, and God pursued them and transformed their lives to bring glory back to Him and spread the gospel of Christ. Now, please understand that God did not force either one of these men to conform to Him. They failed God. God revealed Himself to them. They repented, and they started following God again. Today, as we continue in this sermon series, I want to ask you a question. Can you spot a person? Can you spot a person who has a heart that's pleasing unto God? That's heart is just overflowing with the love of God. Can you spot a person like that? Second question, have you ever seen one of these people before? They're amazing to see. Third question, can you have an overflowing heart for God? I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me. I can show you what Scripture says, but listen, it has a whole lot to do with the Scripture and with you. It has nothing to do with me. All I am this morning is the instrument that's going to deliver the message. You're going to have to listen to the message, digest the message, and act on the message this morning. I believe Scripture tells us what we can be if we are seeking to please the heart of God. The title of the message this morning is The Heart That's Overflowing. The Heart That's Overflowing. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. This is the end of the letter that Paul has written to the Galatian church. He's dealt with a lot of issues, and as he's winding down, he's trying to give them a little hope. You know how when you're talking to your children and you're trying to give them wise counsel and good advice, and you give them, you know, complex words, and you try to talk to them so they'll understand that you know what you're talking about, but at the end of your conversation, you try to bring it down to a level that is underneath their skill set, so there won't be any doubt whatsoever in their minds and your minds that they understand what you're talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about? This is what Paul is doing here. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. Scripture says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Now, I don't know what y'all do. I've told y'all I write all over my Bible. I highlighted that word obvious, and I wrote out to the side a little something. Well, why is it obvious? Well, now that you have the indwelt Spirit of God, it is obvious to you. It wasn't before, but because you have the Spirit of God living in you, these things are obvious now, whereas in times past they weren't. They're obvious now. God revealed it to you. Now these works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, adultery, sorcery, sorcery. Now, why in the world are we hitting this? Why did you read it three times? Because, listen, even in the church, we try to glorify and say, oh, it's okay. Listen, Harry Potter and all these witches. I mean, you can't turn the TV on nowadays without seeing witches and witchcraft and sorcery. Do you hear me? I got into a really deep discussion, about got thrown out of a class when I was in college over this topic of sorcery. Do you see this? It says, it's right here in the list, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, youth, listen, drunkenness is an attribute of the flesh, carousing, and anything similar about which I tell you in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Any questions there? Do you see how simple he made it? But I love to see the word but in scriptures because it gives us hope. Verse 12 and 22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's no law against it. None. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would be with us right now. God, stir our hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see ourselves this morning the way you see us. Not that we would get puffed up, but Lord, that you would help us to be better servants for you. And the only way that we can do that is we see ourselves the way you see us. God, there's nothing in us that's good except for you. There's nothing righteous in us but you. Help us, Lord, this morning to find ourselves, find our place, find our service for you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, I'm going to attempt to answer the three questions that I asked at the introduction of this message. The first question was this. Can you spot a person who is pleasing the heart of God? Can you individually spot the person or a person who is pleasing the heart of God? Well, church, as we try our very best to honestly answer this question, I have to admit to you that I have personally, me personally, I'm not throwing you into this equation, but I have found personally, not found, many who exhibit the attributes constantly, even in the church. You know the list that I just read here from verse 19 to verse 21. Verse 22 through 26. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Be honest with you, Gary, I have not found many people, even in the church, who exhibit these attributes on a consistent basis day in and day out. I haven't. Can we as Christians spot these people? That's the second question. Can we as Christians spot these people? Through the spiritual gift of discernment that all Christians possess, yes, we should be able to spot these people who are exhibiting these characteristics. As a matter of fact, these people should stand out like a black spot on a white shirt to Christians. We should be able to easily spot them. Because they are exhibiting the true fruits of the Spirit, we should not only be able to spot them, but listen to me, we ought to be drawn to them. These people are exhibiting the trueness, the fullness of what God wants in each and every one of us, and discernment, which is in us. Now, listen, we all possess different spiritual gifts. We do. I can sing, but I can't sing like Steve. He has a greater spiritual gift. I don't have a problem with that. Now, he probably can't get up here and preach the way I can. He might be able to. I don't know. We're going to see maybe one day. I just don't know. But we both possess the spiritual gifts of discernment. We ought to be able to tell when we're in the presence of somebody who has these spiritual... Listen, when we're in the presence of a Christian... We ought to know, and some of y'all probably have used that spiritual gift of discernment to tell when you're in the presence of a Christian. But listen, we're drawn. We're drawn to these people. These people who exhibit these gifts, they're infectious. I mean, they have such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. You want to be with them. You can't wait to see them. Now, here, you know, I'm going to admit this. There's times and there's people in the church when you see them coming, you know, you've got that teacher eye. Y'all know what the teacher eye is? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You have eyes in the back of your head. There's times in every entity, not just the church, when you see somebody coming out of the corner of your eye and they're coming from this direction, and you know what you do? You go in this direction. Why? Because you don't want any confrontation. And you know if they're coming, it's coming, right? Right? But it's the opposite with the person who is just overflowing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can't wait to see them. You can't wait to embrace them. You can't wait to shake their hand. You can't wait to love on them. Why? Because they are the true essence of what all Christians should be. It's what God intended for all of us to be. And we're drawn to it. We see something is different. And it's good. And we want to be around that person. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, the lost world will likely spot a person who is pleasing the heart of God because they're so different. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There were times, last time I was in a secular job where, you know, we had some downtime and the boys were, you know, caroused over there and they had a magazine and, you know, they were flipping through the pages and, hey, come here, look at this. No, I'm not interested. Well, why are you not interested? Because I'm not like that. I'm different. When they're telling a dirty joke or something's taking place, you know, we should stand out to them. They ought to look at us and say, there's something different about him. And they snarl their nose and maybe curl their mouth a little bit. Yeah, there should be something different about us. Youth, there should be something different about us as Christians. There should be. And they should be able to spot it. Listen, the lost would be confounded at how these people can be positive in the most negative situations. That they can be at peace in the midst of the storm. And they find words of wisdom when conflict and contention arise. They're looking, you know, the lost world's looking at these people who are just exhibiting this overflow of God and saying, man, how can they do that? How can they be at peace? Why aren't they as mad as I am? Why aren't they just spitting blood and just upset the way I am? Well, because they have the Spirit of God. Listen, these who desire to please the heart of God stand out in such a way that the lost world's desire to be like them before they even understand who gives them the power to be the way they are. That they see a difference. They say, man, he's different. You know, I probably need to be more like him before they even know that it's God that's given them the power. Church, when a Christian displays these attributes, they're letting their light shine bright for the world to see. We're doing what God created us to do and being what God desires all Christians to be. We're pleasing unto the heart of God. Church, he is smiling when we're shining. Now, I have to stop here again. Shouldn't we see more of this? We shouldn't see less of this. Miss Desi, we ought to see more of this, shouldn't we? I mean, God is good. Amen? All the time? Is he ever changing? Is this his desire for his people? Then why don't we see this more often? This is what God wants. This is what God desires. Church, it's God's desire. But it's not ours. That's sad. I don't understand it. So, we've answered two of the three questions I've asked this morning. Can you spot a person who has the Spirit that is pleasing unto God? They're just overflowing with this presence of God. Yes, you can. Have you ever seen one of these people before? Yes, but not many. Have you ever seen one of these people before in the mirror? In your mirror? Church, this shouldn't be the case that we don't see many of these people. If we have the indwelt Spirit of Jesus Christ living within us, we should not only see more of these people, but we ought to be these people. We ought to see these attributes in our lives every single day. Well, you say, well, Brother Kyle, I'm one of those Christians, and I am. God is progressively, you know, he's renewing me and you know, he's doing a work in me every... Yeah, I know, but listen, if you've been saved since you're 17 years old and you're 50 years old, there ain't no reason in the world why you should be a contentious Christian. I mean, if God is working on you, I mean, come on. How much work does he have? Well, he has to do more work on some than he does others. Yeah, that's true. But we're talking about God here. When you let God do the work in you, it doesn't take long. But if you hinder God from working in you, yeah, it's going to take a long time. Now, let's look at the last question to see if it applies to us. And it, and even if it's possible to accomplish what I've asked in our lives. Now, here's the question. Can we, us, the church this morning, body of believers, can we have an overflowing heart for God? Can we? Let's read verse 16 again. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Verse 16 tells us that, yes, you most definitely can do and be the person that Paul is describing here this morning. Paul is giving the strong suggestion to you to do what can be done. But listen, it can only be done through your desire to walk in the Spirit. We must want to walk in the Spirit and then start walking. So I'm empowering you this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. I'm telling you that each and every one of you can exhibit these attributes that we're talking about here this morning. Yes, you can. Well, Brother Kyle, can you prove it? Yeah, Paul just said you can. But it has to be your desire. You know why most of us can't? Don't want to. You don't want to do and be the very best you can be for God? And it's evident. Listen, it's evident. Look, how many of y'all know some of these people? They're easy to spot through discernment, but why aren't there more in the church? I don't want to. So what you're saying is, I like being contentious. I like looking more like the world than I do Jesus. I like when people look at me, they scratch their head, and they say, well, I don't know what he is. I don't know if he's a Christian or if he's in the world. I can't tell because, you know, every Sunday morning I see his car's gone. But I see him down on River Street every now and then taking a nip. They can't look at you and tell whether you're a Christian or not. Listen, if you belong to Jesus, the world ought to look at you and be able to tell beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're different and you belong to Jesus. Listen, and if they're not sure, they shouldn't be able to stick around you too long before you tell them who you belong to. Now, verse 17 tells us how you can know if you're walking in the flesh or in the Spirit. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, for the flesh desires. These are the desires of the flesh. And this means if you, he broke it down, he made it easy. If you are desiring this, you do not desire the things of the Spirit. Mr. White, that's easy, right? Do I need to say anything else? I can move, right? Listen, this is the desire of the flesh. What is against the Spirit? And the Spirit desires things that are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that they don't do that you don't do what you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are under the law. Now, these are the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, decisions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. Paul, listen, he didn't want to leave anything out of the list. He said, anything similar about which I tell you, in advance. Verse 17 tells us how we can know if we're walking in the flesh or in the Spirit. God's not, what, in a nutshell, God's not going to tell you it's okay to do any of the things that I just told you in verse these verses. He's not going to say, oh, it's okay, everybody's doing it. He's not going to tell you, oh, listen, I want you to try it just one time so you'll know how it feels and you'll be able to have a greater testimony for the Lord. Y'all ever heard that before? Well, listen, he's not going to tell you to do it because people don't, you know, you don't want people to think you're a Jesus freak. You're a fanatic for Jesus. Hey, I don't know what you want. But can I tell you that as people encounter me on a daily basis, that's what I exactly what I want them to think of me. When I walk away from them, and sometimes my kids get embarrassed with me because when we are talking to people at the cashier, I do what I tell y'all I do. You know, somebody will say, you know, how are you doing today? And I'll say, I am wonderful. Jesus changed my life. And my kids will go, can you come up with something new? And when we leave people, people will say, you have a good day? And I'll say, no, ma'am, you have a blessed day. Let Jesus, you know, let Jesus rule your life or something. And they'll just, come on, man, come up with something new. When I walk away, I'm sure people say, you know, that guy's a Jesus freak. Amen, I'm accomplished. And I'm not patting myself on the back. Listen, that's what we all ought to be doing. All of us, it's so easy. Who makes it hard? We do. Church, we do. Now, to make this matter crystal clear, Paul gives us a list to refer to so that we can calculate which direction our walk is taking. We can make no mistake here. We're either walking in the Spirit or in the flesh. We're either walking with God or we're walking in the world. God is either holding us up, holding our hand, or we're walking in a life all alone, leaving God. Did y'all see any in between? We as religious people, we like to have the in-between. We like to straddle the line. We don't want to be, you know, too religious, and we don't want to be too much in the world. We want to walk. There's no middle ground here. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. Now, Paul gives us detailed examples of what a life that is walking alone, away from God, looks like. And we saw that in verses 19 through 21. Paul then gives us a detailed list of what our lives should look like as Christians. Y'all saw it. What our lives were meant to be. What God desires our lives to be. This church is, this what we're about to read, is a roadmap to a successful Christian life. And we can know that we're living a successful Christian life. What is it, Brother Kyle? Let's read it again. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you have love in your life? Do you love others or do you condemn others? You know, I was talking just this morning. How often are we to forgive people through love? Jesus said 70 times 7. I mean, that's that, and then beyond. Do you exhibit love? Joy. Peace. Patience. Oh boy, that's a hurdle right there, isn't it? Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faith. Gentleness. Self-control. Oh, there's another. That's another hard one. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. He made it crystal clear, Gary. It's not that hard for us to understand. It's not that hard for us to see. Now, verse 25 tells the tale. It tells the tale. It just sums everything up. The verse starts off saying, if. And y'all know how I am about that if word. If, every time you see the word if, you better stop because it is going to demand that you do something. It says, if we live by the Spirit. Church, it is up to us. We choose. We are in control every single day, many times a day, during the day. We need to call out to God to lead us by the Holy Spirit that we not fail Him. Our lives are surrounded by evil that is in this world all around us every single day. And we need the Spirit of God to lead us every second of every minute of every day. Got to have it. If we call out to the Spirit of God, Scripture says that God is faithful to hear our prayers. Church, we just can't walk around numb, seeing what's taking place, knowing the evils around us and not call on God. Let's look back at those three questions again. Can you spot a person whose heart is pleasing unto God? They're just overflowing. They're just overflowing with these attributes that we talked about, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And listen, I could do a sermon on each one of those attributes. They're that powerful. They're all throughout Scripture of what we should be as Christians. Can you spot them? Hey, listen, if you can't spot them, there's something wrong. If you can't not only spot them, if you're not drawn to be with people like that, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Second question, have you ever seen one of these people before? You ever seen one? They're a rare breed. Thirdly, can you have an overflowing heart for God? Yeah, you can. It all starts with you wanting it. Scripture says that we can possess it. But do you want it? Do you want to be that type of witness for the Lord? Where there's no doubt in anybody's mind that you are who Scripture says you are? I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. And I hope I'm not going to hurt your feelings. In our church, we have some people like this, where every time you're around them, just a huge smile. Very seldom do you ever hear anything negative. Everything's positive. Now, I mean, their spouses can probably tell you, oh, no, listen, it ain't that way at the house. But listen, you're drawn to them because they exhibit the Spirit of God. Every time you're around them, every time. Jennifer posts that way with me. I never heard her say anything negative. Positive, smiles, every time. Maggie, where's Maggie? Hey, Maggie, I love Maggie. Same way. Mr. White, same way. There's somebody who's been coming to church just for a few weeks, and I can feel that spirit with her too. Kelly. What is wrong with us? Why in the world don't we want to be the greatest that God wants us to be? Shouldn't we? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, not for my benefit, but for your benefit. Lord God, I pray that I'm the type of person that I preached about this morning. And Lord, if I'm not, I pray that you would work on me and you'd show me how I can, not in days ahead, but right now, be this type of person to have peace and joy and comfort. And Lord, I want to be the witness, and I want a testimony, Lord God, to shine my light in this lost world, because I'm yours. I'm not mine. Lord, as the invitation starts, if you could just do what you do and shine your light in the hearts of every person in this auditorium who call themselves Christians, let them examine to see if they're that person. And I pray that you'd put that desire in all of our hearts to be this person. A person who has an overflowing heart for you that the world can see. God, let us be this for you. Lord, if there's somebody here who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that you would give them the boldness to walk down this aisle and let us open the Word of God and show you what they must do. Show them what they must do to be true children of God. Lord, we love you and we pray that you'd move right now. In Jesus' name I do pray. This is your time of invitation. Do you need to come?